Jerry Bader Show, 9:36. I want to get to what I think is a very interesting topic in just a few minutes here in terms of if this is a good or a bad idea. But I've got three stories related to Ferguson, all indirectly, that I think are interesting. And you may have heard of all three of them, but none of them are getting a ton of mainstream media coverage. Item one, if I was doing a Radio Jeopardy, which I'm not, by the way, but were I might say the Radio Jeopardy answer is 3-0. What is how many White House officials went to Michael Brown's funeral versus Margaret Thatcher's last year? They sent 3 officials to attend Monday's funeral for Michael Brown in St. Louis. None to Maggie Thatcher's funeral last year. As strong a Cold War ally as this country had. You can make the case, I mean, you really can, that Thatcher and Reagan were to the Cold War what Churchill and Roosevelt were to World War II. In other words, that it couldn't have been won without either, you know, without that team. But it just shows you where the White House is. It's also pointed out that, and I had either forgotten this or didn't know it, that the White House also came under criticism when Obama did not attend the funeral for Major General Harold Green, highest-ranking U.S. military officer killed in combat since the Vietnam War. And nobody really knows who Michael Brown was. I have no idea what happened. I've said that over and over and over. I have no idea. I have no idea if it was an unjust killing. I have no idea if it was a just shooting. I do know that the officer is being treated unfairly, as we tried to determine that, in the name of the black leadership agenda. I do know that. Yet this kid is being hailed as some hero. What if the evidence proves he is a thug that attacked a police officer and was shot for it? What if that's what the evidence proves? Well, we'll have this Orwellian spin on it where even if that's what it is, it won't be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just asking aloud, wondering aloud, what if it is? What if that's what we find out? Al Sharpton eulogizes him. We assume that he's almost a fallen martyr, if not hero, in the racial cause. Well, we don't know that. We know no such thing. But the White House doesn't care. Then there is this. And this is, Rush Limbaugh talked about this. Other talk shows have talked about this. Dylan Taylor. Who is Dylan Taylor? He's a 20-year-old man who was shot by police officers, a police officer, 2 days after Michael Brown was. Well, then how come you know about Michael Brown, but you don't know about Dylan Taylor? Because Dylan Taylor has been described as white and Hispanic, but more importantly, white. And the officer who shot him outside of 7-Eleven in South Salt Lake wasn't white. So you have a minority officer shooting a white man, and there are questions surrounding the circumstances of the shooting, just as there are in Ferguson, but there is no media outrage, no coverage. Why? And this is something I said that, for whatever reason, hacked off a listener who didn't understand what I was saying. Because in all of these conflicts, the minority is always, by the media, given the benefit of the doubt. Their template is the person of color is always the victim, unless they're the cop. This is a real quandary for the media. While normally the black guy or the minority is automatically the bad guy, and the white person, or is the good guy, and the white person is the bad guy. The minority is immediately the hero in the story, and the white person is the bad person. Except not this time. Well, it's different, though, when the black person is the authority, being a law enforcement, then all bets are off. Okay, so now the black person is exonerated again because the other person is white. See, no matter the role, the black person is always in the right. But that's tough for them this time because the black person's the cop. My guess is they're not sure what to do with it because they don't like cops. I found out a lot of conservatives don't like cops. But yeah, the general template here, that the black person is always in the right, apparently even when they have that incredible authority of being a law enforcement officer, then there's this, shared with me by a listener from Tupelo, Mississippi. Family members say a West Point man is in a Tupelo hospital after he and another man were attacked in a Huddle House, apparently some kind of Waffle House, parking lot by up to 20 people. Ralph Weems, a 32-year-old Marine and Iraq War veteran, is in fair condition yesterday, according to officials at North Mississippi Medical Center. Monday evening, police arrested 22-year-old Cortez McMillan of Okolona. He's being held in the Clay County Detention Center and will be charged with aggravated assault. Brinkley said other arrests are also pending, and the most, if not all, of the assailants appear to come from Monroe County. About 20 people, all black. The allegation is they said it's not safe for whites around here in the wake of the Ferguson shooting. How much mainstream media play will that get? The media won't ever assume that a black officer is at fault. And again, I'm not saying he is in the Salt Lake City. I'm treating both the same. I don't know what happened. That's what separates conservative talk radio from the media. I don't know what happened in either case. The black guy's the cop. The media doesn't question that shooting. The black guy's the victim. The white cop is immediately assumed guilty. GM in Wausau. Hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. You know, what upsets me about this issue is we don't talk about what happened. You know, what happened was this young man went into a 7-Eleven. He robbed it. He started to walk out. He went back and he knocked the clerk down. He almost took the door off the 7-Eleven on his way out. He's walking down the middle of the street. The cop asked him to get off. He didn't want to get off the street. He had no respect for the cop. He started a fight with the cop, and now he's dead. And we won't talk about the fact that he's dead, because somebody convinced this young man that he's black, everything's against him, he has a right to rob 7-Eleven, and he has a right to have a fight with a cop. And whoever convinced him of that is responsible for his death.
Hang on a second, because the guy that was shot is white.
No, I'm talking about Mr. Brown.
Okay, all right, so you're just taking, because the 7, okay. Yeah, because it just happens to be 7-Eleven in Salt Lake as well.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah,
understand.
No, so that's where you confused me. I thought you. Okay, I got you. Well, yeah, right. But here, yeah, and you know what, GM, I don't know what happened. I mean, what you said might be exactly what happened. There might be extenuating circumstances. I don't know. You don't know. Just as we don't know all of the facts in Salt Lake City. Thanks a lot for the call. That's my point. But to GM's point, the officer in the St. Louis area in Ferguson has been convicted in the court of public opinion. Now, what I have said is, when there's an overwhelming case against someone, I don't think it's wrong for me to be on the radio and say the case is overwhelming and I think he's guilty. Because some of you are accusing me of hypocrisy. Well, you proclaim people guilty. Yeah, I think O.J. Simpson is guilty based on the overwhelming preponderance of overwhelming evidence. You don't know what happened in either case. Rick Implover. Rick, go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but there was a case down south where two young black kids attacked a young youth on a bus and beat him up pretty badly, and the driver got in trouble for not intervening. But the main thing was the chief of police in that area said that saw no evidence of racial bias there. The next one I would like to point to is the white driver, and I forget the town. He ran over a black kid that ran into the street, and he was severely beaten into a coma. Again, no evidence of racial there.
By the way, your point. By the way, they are already saying that in the Mississippi case, that at this point it's not a hate crime, and they haven't even determined definitively that it was racially motivated.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, Rick, it is amazing. If there were 20 white guys and one black guy that was beat up, how long would it take them to determine that was racially motivated?
About see Mr. Sharp and Mr. Jackson there.
They would be, yes! they would. You're exactly right. They would already be there. Thanks for the call. James from De Pere. James, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for taking up this topic. I think what people don't realize is how many black-on-white crimes happen and at the rate they happen versus white-on-black. I don't know if you listen to Bill Whittle, but Bill Whittle does a awesome video blog on this and just discusses it. It's just unbelievable the disparity between both sides and how the two sides are covered.
There was a story, and I want to say, James, it was Buffalo, New York, and I harped on, and I could be wrong on that, though. Maybe I'll have Jason Google that here in a couple of minutes. I harped on it and harped on it for days. Jason, it was the story where it was a white guy with a black girlfriend, and a group of black men beat him just about to death. I don't know if he ever put Buffalo in there. If he ever got, if he was ever completely recovered. Wow, that was 2009. Boy, time flies. You could pick the first one. We should get his name off this story. Brian Milligan Sr. is the guy's father. Yeah, Brian Milligan Jr. Beaten just about to death. Should Google and see if he ever fully recovered. There was never any outrage there. Never. He was beaten nearly to death. No, there's no news stories on it. 2012. Go back. That's YouTube on top there. There's one from 2012 that appears to be the most recent. It's just, I wonder if he ever recovered because he was in really bad shape. But those are never supposed to be spoken of. Because, no, see, the black, the minority, is always the victim. And people just don't realize how dangerous that is. It's 9:50.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com. We're bringing you the latest news at the top and bottom of the hour 24/7. But it's only from 11 to 2 that you can hear.